Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
And what a journey it's been. It's over a million, well over a million streams now. We do appreciate it worldwide. So it's good to have you listening to our Songwriter Connections. We explore the craft of songwriting. That's what it's all about. I've got a great guest today, and I've been wanting to talk to her for a really long time because she's making waves in this town. She's like everywhere. And I have to tell you, and brag just a little bit, and you've heard me talk about this before. Scott Barrier, Pamela Hopkins, and I all had our first country number one song. All right, now the country was Australia, and to be even more specific, it was the Tasmanian country charts. And the song was Squirrel Train by Pamela Hopkins. And we had a couple of others chart there too. And I say this because our guest today grew up in Tasmania. Isn't that correct?
It is.
Zoe is with us. And let me tell you, Zoe with two E's.
That's it. Two E's. Extra special.
I love it. That is so true.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks
for having me. It is just a pleasure to have you here.
I appreciate it.
I want to start with this. One of the first songs I heard from you was Coastline Time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that song. And this applies to me because we're recording this in September, late September, and I just got back from some coastline time for me. Oh. We were down at the Emerald Coast. We like to go to Destin in the fall.
I love
and
Destin.
It's just the white sand and that emerald water. And we found a radio station there. It was called Wave 102.1. And it was a really incredible radio station. And let me tell you that. It was one of those, what we used to call in the business as a jack format. And what we mean by that is they started to come into popularity in the era where people had MP3 players. Mm. And they were creating their own playlists for a while. Yeah. And so radio was like, we can do that. Well, you know, how about we have this station? We'll give it a name like Jack. Sometimes they did Bob, things like that. And we'll play everything. Because what they were finding out is these playlists weren't always to one genre. You know, they were just about great songs. And that's what this Wave station was. It was a jack format. They call it the Wave. And I mean, you could hear anything from, like I heard Friends in Low Places. Mm. And I heard The Gambler. But I also heard Boogie Shoes by Casey and the Sunshine Band. I even heard AC/DC and Kiss.
Yes.
They mixed it all. It was about great songs. So how does that apply? Applies two reasons that I want to bring that up. One is we always talk about don't worry about a genre when if you're looking to be a good songwriter, write the best possible song you can with who's in the room, and don't worry about a genre. I hate to box people into genres. Sure. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Now the reason why I bring this up is because I saw an interview with you where you were talking about your mom and dad's huge record collection. I'm a record collector too, and how you were exposed to all these different great artists and great songs and how they influence you. So I want to hear your story about that.
You know, that you're right though. It is such a big thing especially when you're an artist too, to not be boxed into a genre.
Yeah.
And I always say a good song is a good song regardless of the genre.
Hallelujah.
And I think when you're writing, rock songs are written on acoustic guitars all the time. You know, jazz are written on, it's just a good song is a good song. Despite any of that. So, but yeah, in saying that, I was very lucky to get to be around some incredible music growing up. Mm. My parents, they had this 20-foot-long shipping container all of these records that they'd collected over the course of their 20, 30-something-year relationship that they'd had and still have they're still together and happily in love, which I'm very grateful for.
That's great.
But yeah, so, you know, I remember as a kid, I'd just go in there and I'd pull out all these different vinyls and I'd race in and mom would be like, oh my gosh, have you heard this? Like, Alan Parsons, have you ever heard of this guy?
Alan Parsons?
She's like, yeah, baby, I have. I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, this is amazing. She's like, yes, honey, how do you think I got in there? I'm like,
love it. You were even into the classic rock. I love it.
No, yeah, I was really, you know, you just go through it. There was Loretta Lynn and Mel Haggard and AC/DC and, you know, my brother, my older brother, he was bringing home CDs like Taylor Swift's new records and Eminem. And so I was getting all of this array of sound and this breadth of time of music. And it was really a beautiful way to grow up. And then, of course, we didn't have internet or TV, so we just had radio.
Now, where did you were in Tasmania. So whereabouts?
Down the West Coast.
West Coast?
Uh-huh. Isolated down there. So there wasn't any kind of town or anything nearby. It was, I think the local population count was 6. or may not have included us. I'm not sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty small. It was a fishing village, actually.
Really?
It wasn't even big enough to be called a town.
And I read that you did abalone diving?
I did, yeah. So amongst all of that, my parents were fishing and stuff on the side. So I was doing that with them. And so a lot of abalone and crayfish diving.
Wow.
My childhood was pretty much a lot of that. And then a lot of
you do that snorkeling racing. Or do you have the whole full scuba?
Both. Dad would usually have the hooker, which has the regulator and the air that pumps up to the top. And I'd be running bags back and forth. And I'd usually do that on a snorkel, which was fun.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
I had a few run-ins there a couple of times with some sharks. Which, you know, I survived.
It's so cool. I just, this popped into my head. Recently we watched a movie that really affected me. It was called My Octopus Teacher. You ever seen that?
Yes, I love that.
South Africa, but...
So incredible. It's exactly like that.
Is it really?
And you get to know that, because they find little spaces under the water where they get to live and, like, you know, it's home for them.
Yeah.
So you go back and you go and see them once a week or however
Did
many
you
times
really?
You go. Yeah,
yeah.
No, they get to know you.
Good.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing. I mean, it's their world.
Yeah.
And you're coming in and hoping that, you know, you're like, don't get upset, I'm here. Hi. And it's a beautiful experience. And I honestly, I loved it. It was a great experience getting to grow up like that.
Get to grow up there. Yeah. And then from there you moved to the UK, right?
Uh-huh.
And you did some right on the street busking, which I think is amazing.
A lot of that.
Tell me how you got there.
So I originally, so we did a lot of traveling, my family and I, when I was growing up as well. I was really fortunate that my folks loved to travel. So we traveled around Australia in a big RV for a long time, quite a few years actually. And then when we finally decided that we'd seen enough of Australia, we're like, let's go and see the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And so my brothers and I were all homeschooled and my parents were certified teachers and they were teaching us on the road because we did live isolated. So that kind of all tied into itself there. And so they were like, well, let's go and see the world, you know, let's go and give your kids an experience you can't get in a classroom.
No.
And so we did. We got to go travel and see a lot of the world. And
yeah.
I came to America quite a few times before I eventually did move here. And I remember on one of the trips I came to Nashville.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing experience getting to finally come here. And I'd seen so many documentaries and stories about Nashville and wanting to come here and finally get to see it in person. It was an incredible experience. And somehow managed to convince the owner of Bobby's Idle to let me come in and play. It was
It was before they moved to the new place.
Yeah, it was where it was like sticky floors and the money on the walls and like cigarette smoke. And it was like walking into a Christopher's.
It's pretty much the same without the smoke
today. Pretty much.
Every now and then I go there. I have friends that do it. Writers around there, so
it's a great place.
Oh, you gotta be there. You know, that's one of the things, you know, one of the few things left on Music Row that's, even though it's moved like 3 times over the years, four, it's still just a real genuine place to go in and sit down. And you never know, it's songwriter. There's sometimes big time writers and artists just pop in.
I love that about Nashville. Like, that just seems to happen so much here in this town, and I've been really fortunate to get connected with so many great writers because of that.
You're writing with some of the best.
I've been really lucky.
You really are.
Since I got here, I've been very lucky. But yeah, I mean, just real quick, going back to that story, ended up coming in here, loving it, falling in love with performing, went back to Australia, and my parents were like, we're going to give you another year, just make sure this is something that isn't a phase, make sure that this is a real deal. And of course, it just got more and more intense for me, songwriting and singing, and so we ended up, I couldn't get a visa to come here to the States, so I ended up moving to the UK. They were like, you need to be around people so you can perform, and you know, because we live so isolated, it's not, and the thing with Australia is it's so big, but the population is so small, if you're not Keith Urban or not someone like Olivia Newton-John who's got a big name already and has a big following, it's very hard to get people to come to see you.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's go and see some of the rest of the world and, you know, you can build your following there. So we went to the UK.
And with, of course, your guitar?
With my guitar, my two parents, my two younger brothers, and five huskies, which was a handful. And didn't know a soul when we got there. And it was an incredible experience. But literally just, I had no one that knew who I was. So I couldn't get in to play any venues or clubs or nothing. So I started busking on the streets. Mm. And working my way up from busking to playing little clubs and venues to then being on the streets. Hey, I'm playing a show tonight. Come and see me down the road, you know.
There you go.
Selling tickets and doing all that stuff. And then working my way up from that to festivals to headlining to then touring. Wow. And then, you know, traveling all through Europe.
And you toured a bit in Europe. Yeah, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
And then, you know, got all the way up to C2C. And we had that lovely year where the whole world shut down. And, you know, I really started focusing in on my songwriting then and really
That would have been a good time to do
that.
It.
It was.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everyone here in Nashville started writing online too. So it was a real great collaboration.
I know a guy
time.
Started a podcast because, you know.
Hey, I heard about that. Dave someone, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Let me tell you more about Zoe. She moved to Nashville in 2022, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
And she's been collaborating with many, many great artists here and songwriters, Grammy and CMA winning songwriters, guys like Kyle Jacobs and Jeff Cohen and Phil Barton, who's also, he's Australian too, isn't he?
He is.
Met him years ago. Nice guy. I think he was working at Hori Pro at the time when I met him.
Wow.
And this Jamie Floyd and this guy, James House, who I've always been a big fan of.
He's so good. He's so good. He's such
really
a mentor too. Like and Phil Barton as well. And Jeff Cohen.
Yeah.
Those guys have been such mentors to me and really just welcomed me with open arms and really kind of been like bumper rails in a way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Here's what you should do here or don't do this or don't do that. And, you know, it's been really beautiful in the sense that moving around the world as well has so much that you have to comprehend and get, you know, accustomed to, and that's been very helpful. So they've been. They've
and
been
I imagine it gives you a lot to write about too, having seen so many cool things.
It does.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I think sometimes it's a lot to process too.
Yeah.
I actually just wrote a song about that.
Funny. Did you?
I might play it for us in a little
cool.
bit.
Oh, cool. Good.
But yeah, you know, it is. I feel like it's a lot, but that's what life is. I feel like life is just a constant butterfly evolution. You know, you're constantly growing, for me anyway, constantly growing and trying to that metamorphosis process and trying to be better than you was yesterday. And
I agree 100%. 100%.
I love that.
Yeah.
And traveling and seeing the world and doing what I've done and now finally being here in Nashville and working with such incredible great minds and talented people is just such a dream come true. And
I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm so happy.
What is it about this town? It seems to draw you in.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be the food.
Yeah.
It might be the songwriters and the talented people, but I'm pretty sure it's the food.
It's so welcoming though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. No, it is. It's
and you seemed to fit in right away, didn't you?
You know, I think that's it must be an Australian and an American thing because we seem to get on very well.
We do.
And I love that.
I love your accent, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yours too.
My friend, for me it's an accent and I have one for you. I have a friend, Michael Saletta, who's a songwriter. I don't know if you've ever run into him. Michael's a great songwriter. And he just moved here from Australia. I've known him for years and writes a lot. And I just like to hear him talk. You know, we write a lot of songs
together.
Oh, I
love that.
Yeah.
Hey, if the songwriting and the music thing doesn't work out, maybe there's a voice. I mean, I actually have been doing a lot of voice acting lately.
I'm going to say, you could. Yeah.
I just had a book come out, Museum of the Omniverse, which is an audio book I just
did you?
Narrated. Uh-huh.
Wow.
So that was a fun project.
Well, that
started
is cool.
that actually in COVID and have been doing more of that since. But yeah, it's
money there. Yeah. That's cool. Very good.
It's fun.
So I was running down your curriculum vita. Is that how they say that?
Yep.
I don't know.
Curriculum vita.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've toured US, UK, Ireland, Scandinavia. Top 20 of the Amazon country charts? You had a song in there?
Yeah,
top 20?
I've been lucky.
And award winner.
Yeah.
Tell me about this big award you won.
Which one? No, I'm kidding.
How many?
Oh, let me count them out. No, there's not been very many, but there's been a couple. I think it was the Women of Country Music Awards.
Women of Country.
For a song I wrote.
Oh, what an honor.
That was a really,
What was
amazing.
The song?
Take Me Away, actually. It was
Take
a self-penned song, and I've become much better as a songwriter now, and I listen back to it and think, ooh.
Well, girl, it won an award.
It did. It's so strange, though, as you grow and as you do that process of evolution and you look back at what you've done and you go, oh, damn, the internet's forever. You can't get rid of that.
Internet's forever.
It is. Yeah. It's kind of scary. But, you know, you live, you learn, and you just keep getting better. And I think that is actually a good thing, because looking back at stuff like that and going, hey, I could have been better here, is a really great way to gauge where you're at now.
You know,
you're getting better, and that's always a good thing.
Another 100%. I mean, you look back and you see how much you've grown, and it really helps. Well, pick up that guitar. We'd love to have you play songs around the dining room table, and then we're going to get into it. I want to get under the hood, and I want to find out about your writing style and everything. Zoe is our guest. It's Zoee. If you Google her, she's out there. Check out her page. You have a web page, but also your YouTube page has got a lot of cool videos and things.
I do. I try and keep up with all the social platforms, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the YouTubes. There's a lot.
TikTok.
There's a whole lot.
It's
of
a full time job just doing that.
It is. Yeah. I think we spend most of our time actually making content than we do making songs. So this one is my new single at the moment that just came out. It's called 666, and I wrote this with Bonnie Diamond and Clayton Johnson, who actually just had a number one with Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey, that's incredible.
Which is pretty amazing. So this is called 666. So.
And a little controversial at the time when you released it.
A bit, yeah.
But if you listen to it, there's really...
He's a 6 foot, 6 pack, 6 figure rebel with a slick back. James Dean, face of a guy, got me praying on my knees. Gives me reason to believe it's like he's fallen straight from heaven, and he's burning like the devil. He's working 9 to 5, he's working overtime on me. Go from 6 to 9, he's got me stripped down to a T. That man is my obsession, and I'm guilty of confession. Oh, he's a 6 foot, 6 pack, 6 figure rebel with that slick back. James Dean, face of a guy, got me praying on my knees. Gives me reason to believe it's like he's falling straight from heaven, and he's burning like a devil. Forbidden fruit, but then he's salty to the taste. He's like a weatherman, he always knows just when it's gonna rain. He's a midnight daydream, keeping me wide awake. Take me higher, got me falling to the street of this. He's a 6 foot, 6 pack, 6 figure rebel with that slick back. James Dean, face of a guy.
Love those cold endings. Zoe, Zoee, is our guest, and that is a great song streaming out there right now. Hundreds of thousands of streams right now, and doing very well. Zoe, at first it was a little controversial. People were like, oh my God, it's the devil's number. When you were releasing that, was that thought in your mind? Did anybody go, hey, maybe we ought to, you know?
I did have that thought for a second. I'm like, no, nobody's going to care. I mean, it's artistic creativity. It's, you know.
And but you paid it off.
No, they did care.
Yeah, they did.
They did care.
Did you get...
I did get a little bit of... Yeah, no, I did. I got a little bit of hate for it.
A little kickback? Really?
I had a couple of radios that were like, we're not playing this just because of the title. I'm like, did you even hear it? No. They didn't even listen to it just because of the title. I'm like, well, all right. So then when it came out, everyone was like, oh, wait, hang on a minute. This is actually like a love song, kind of. This is not what we thought it was going to be at all. So it's interesting, though, you know, because I love that part of songwriting is that you get to create something that might not be what people are going to think it's going to be. And I love that kind of...
See, I love that, too.
The ability to do that.
And I've heard it said that good writing is like telling a good joke. You know, yeah. You know, you pull the rug out from under somebody.
Yeah.
Or because you've seen it, something that... You're seeing it in a way that maybe nobody's ever seen that before. Right. And I think that's what's the magic of songwriting. So tell us a little bit about the writing of that song, the idea, and let's get under the hood. Was it your idea?
No, yeah. No? It was so originally, actually, back to busking on the streets.
Yeah.
About
okay.
3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So there I am on the street, middle of summer, Glasgow. It's really hard when you're busking to get people to just stop and sure. pay attention because they're not there to see you. They're going from A to B. They're not there for you at all.
Yeah.
So if you get them to stop, even for a few songs or a song at all, it's pretty amazing. And so I remember this one afternoon in particular very well. I'm there and I'm playing, I think it might have been like Country Roads or something. And as you do when you're sitting there singing a song, your brain's kind of elsewhere. And I'm just sitting there, you know, kind of enjoying the day. And this guy stopped. And he was really good-looking Scottish guy. And he stopped and he watched the song. And I'm like, oh, all right. And he stopped and he stayed longer. And then he stayed for another one. And then I'm like, okay, minute. So as I'm sitting there playing this song.
Did you get his number?
Well, that's another story.
That's another story.
We'll talk about that on another show.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
So I'm sitting there and I'm singing away at this song. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, you know, I'm not checking him out, but I'm checking him out. I'm not even going to lie. That's not going to happen. So I'm checking this guy out. And I'm like, geez, he's pretty tall. Like, he's got to be about 6 foot. And I'm like, man, he's probably got a six-pack under that shirt. You know, he looks pretty ripped. And then I'm like... If he's got a six-figure salary, like, man, I'm in. That's it. Yeah. So it was like 6 foot, six pack, six figure, and I'm like, I'll keep that. So I just kept that in my back pocket for a couple of years until literally I'm here in Nashville with my co-writers that day, and I'm like, they go, what do you want to write? And I'm like, I got an idea, but I don't know if you want to jump in on this or not. I said, he's a 6 foot, six pack, six figure rebel. They're like, we're writing that right now.
Awesome.
And it was great because, you know, the thing with, as you'd know as well, when you're with people collaborating,
yeah.
it's got to be the right energy. And if that right energy isn't bouncing off the walls, it can either kill an idea.
So true.
And or it just doesn't happen. And so yeah. I was very lucky to have such great, enthusiastic co-writers that day. And that was Bonnie Diamond and Clay Johnson. So,
that's really incredible.
So that song was born. Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
So you do a lot of co-writing? Was that a new concept for you when you came to Nashville?
No, yeah, I think it was when I came to Nashville. I mean, I'd started really co-writing in COVID because everyone started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the UK, maybe it's not as done as much, definitely not as much as it is here in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have much opportunity to do a lot there. And of course, being in Australia, it's tough because you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's hard to talk to anybody out there. Since I've been in Nashville, I've been doing a lot of collaborating and I love the process because
good.
I feel like sometimes you can get in your own way when you're writing by yourself, which I love
agree.
Doing. I definitely yeah. still do a lot of writing by myself, but you can get in your own way and you can miss things that other people might go, hang on a minute, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
There's a song. And you yeah. go, oh, what did I say? You know? And so you definitely can get in the way. So it is fun to collaborate, especially if you're working with people who are of like mind and fun and just...
Yeah.
You know, you can't help but the songs be joyful and fun at that point, and that's what it's all about, I think.
It is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been very lucky.
Do you keep a very busy writing schedule?
I have. The last 12 months has been insane, I swear.
Insane, huh?
It's been insane in a great way, and well, I'm very,
good.
Very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, as I said, I've been very welcomed in this town, and I
yes,
can't
have,
thank
huh?
everybody enough for that, because
yeah.
you don't expect that when you come to a town full of so many talented people, you know? And people like Phil Barton and Jeff Cohen and James House and
mm-hmm.
like, you know, all these amazing co-writers, Kyle Jacobs, rest his
yeah.
soul. All these people that I've been really fortunate to get to write with and to learn from.
It's quite a network. And we always talk about network. Network being your net worth. so tell us about networking when you first came to town. I mean, you're a young artist and Were you playing out and just meeting folks?
No, actually, funny enough, when I got here, as I said, I was already writing online. So I feel like it had already kind of organically started to sort of, people were talking about me, which was, could be a good thing and a bad thing. I was getting messages, hey, you want to write this week? Or do you want to do this? Or do you want to do that? And I'd reach out to people and mutual connections would start to happen and all of that fun stuff. And getting to play places like the Bluebird and Listening Room. And it's such a joy to play those rooms,
by the way. Or people are actually listening.
Well, they actually care.
Yeah, they actually care.
They do. It's such a joy. And you're sitting there looking at these people, like the whites of their eyes, telling them your most personal secrets on a guitar.
I know.
You know, it's pretty... It
can be intimidating.
It can be.
But you know, you get into it about having a song, you're like, I got this.
Yeah.
Except I was really nervous last time I played. I mean, I was right over my shoulder. There's this big portrait of Kris Kristofferson.
Oh.
And it's like, he's looking over my shoulders.
I sat in that seat.
Did you sit in that
seat? Yeah, that was my first time getting to sit there, was in that seat. Kristofferson's looking over my shoulder. I'm like, oh, please and help me get through the
It was
night.
Even more intimidating the first time I played because I was facing him. I'm going,
oh, God.
He's staring at me.
No pressure.
God, I hope I don't suck.
So for anybody who knows the Bluebird, that's where you're sitting in the round. You're staring at a great picture of Kris Kristofferson, who's either staring at you or over your shoulder, depending on which way you're sitting.
Stealing licks that you're playing, things like that, you know.
Yeah, so, just making you feel like less of a songwriter. Which is okay.
If you come to Nashville... You've got to see a show at either the Listening Room or the Bluebird. If you can't get into the Bluebird, which in its heart, they sell out in 5 minutes, you know. The joke is, hey, I sold out the Bluebird in 5 minutes. Yeah, well, everybody does.
But we don't tell everybody that. We just say it's because we're that good.
Because we're that good. Right? Yes.
You've told everybody now and ruined them.
Damn. We talk in truths here. But you know what? And then there's the Listening Room. So if you can't buy a ticket to get in Bluebird, try the Listening Room. Because
Listening Room's great.
You'll see great people there too. I mean, hit songwriters. There's a lot more room there.
It's a lot more room. I think it's a lot easier to get into.
Yeah.
And it's just as good. I mean, it's not quite as intimate. You're not sitting in the middle of the performers, but it's definitely, I mean, you're getting to sit and listen and everyone's quiet and it's really a great atmosphere.
You know, it's so funny. See the tourists, a lot of them will just drive up to the Bluebird and get their picture taken under the awning. You know, they'll come going in. I saw my picture underneath the Bluebird awning.
You know,
and that's what they do. They, you know.
I think the show Nashville really blew that place. Really and I mean, it was already historic.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that really put it on the map for tourists. It I know really it did for me too. I was watching that show back in Australia and it was like, wow.
Mm.
You know, I was already in love with Nashville and the Bluebird, but that just sent it to a whole nother level. It was pretty amazing.
Wasn't the one gal, the blonde, wasn't she? Was she from Australia too?
Yeah,
she, Claire Bowen.
Bowen,
Claire Bowen. She's from Australia. Right?
I've been confused with her a few times.
Have you? Well, that's great to be confused with.
I was on an interview somewhere here, and the staff that were getting ready to put me in the show, like, and Claire, we're going to put you up here. I'm like, hang on a second. I'm Zoe. They're like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm Zoe. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You look like... I'm like, this is funny.
Oh my gosh,
it's kind of... I've been confused a few times with her. But that's okay. That's an Australian thing.
She's beautiful too. She's a great singer too.
Yes.
You know what that...
Absolutely. Know. I mean, that whole show and has been Charles Eston and that whole crew as well. He's so lovely. I got to meet him at CMA Fest actually.
Did you?
Yeah, he's just the nicest guy.
You did CMA Fest this year.
I did.
Was it a blast?
Oh my gosh, so much fun. So many people, so much music, just fantastic. I feel like that whole week, I think I got about 2.5 hours sleep each day. It was intense. It was great though. I mean, it's just one of those weeks. I feel like everyone, especially artists that I know and stuff, we're all kind of like, better gear up, here we go. You know, get your Red Bull and your coffee ready because we're about to make this week the best ever. And it is. It's such a joy. And so many people come in from out of town. All my Aussie friends and artists as well come in from out of town. We had a big barbecue. We got together and we just talked about Australia and how much we missed Vegemite. it was a hoot. And then, you know, the rest of the week is just getting to meet fans and play. And just it's so much fun. If you've never been to CMA Fest, you have to come
into town for it.
It's incredible.
We can't explain it unless you've been there and done it. It is such a wild time. It really is. Let's take a little break. I want to get back into songwriting, and I want some more music live around our dining room table. This is what we're known for. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Zoe is our guest on The Songwriter Connection.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
And just a quick reminder, if you're listening on YouTube, although we're not a video podcast as of yet, please click the link that's subscribe and like. That helps us a lot. Yeah. Zoe is our guest, and it's good to have you, Zoe. When did you get into songwriting? When did you start to think, hey, I want to write songs?
I think I was probably about 9 or 10.
Really?
I started writing poetry.
Yeah?
And my dad always had a guitar kicking around the house, and so it didn't take long for me to pick up that and go, hey, I can put these two things together.
Wow.
And now I've heard those songs since. I wouldn't probably say it's my best work.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. Yeah. So no, about 9 or 10, I would say.
That's great. But, good. Yeah. So your dad was a musician as well?
He played. Yeah. No, there was always music, as I said, in the house, yeah. and he played guitar and harmonica and. Like, I think for a long time, I just thought it was not cool to play guitar if my dad played, or my parents. I think it's uncool at that age to do anything your parents want you to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I kind of boycotted for a little while. I'm like, no, I'm not going to touch that. I'll just write my lyrics in a book, and that's fine. And then I realized it's actually very cool, and all of my musical heroes did it as well. And I'm like, maybe that's not so bad. So my dad kind of, he just sat me down, and he's like, look, I'm going to show you the first three chords, and that's it. You're going to figure out the rest for yourself so that I don't influence you with my style.
Gotcha.
And then when we come together and play, like, you're going to have your own style and I'll have mine. It'll be very interesting. And I thought that was cool. So that's kind of how it started.
Going back to when we first started, about you had all this, you were listening to all these different kinds of music.
Yeah.
And they all have a little bit of influence into what you do. Somebody recently, I don't remember where I heard this, but I thought it was so true. They said, if you steal from someone, then that's stealing. But if you steal from a lot of different people, it's research, right?
That's so true.
So, but it's not really
songwriting
stealing.
Songwriting 101.
Yeah, it's not really stealing. It's, you know, you find your way, you know.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it, are heroes. Who are some of those heroes?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Neil Young, Paul Simon.
Neil Young.
Springsteen, Loretta Lynn, Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard could write such a beautiful song.
Always one of my favorites.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And then that voice on top of it. Oh. And the fact that he could, you know, he could impersonate other people.
Do everybody.
To a T.
Yeah,
to a T. It was incredible. And he really lived those stories that he wrote about, too. And I feel like a lot of the folk from then did that. Loretta and all of that crew.
Absolutely.
So a big fan of all of those guys. But that's I feel like it's hard to go back into that time, you know, from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and find something that was bad.
No,
there was so much good music.
It really was.
And I love it. And I mean, of course, now there's some incredible music out there. And,
there really
I love
is.
Kip Moore and what Post Malone is doing right now, too. I think that's incredible.
Shook things up in this town, didn't he?
And the nicest guy ever. I was going out with him on Broadway the other week, and he is just the nicest.
Really?
Guy. Yeah. He's like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Like,
I've never met him, but I've always heard that about
so
him.
So sweet.
And I've seen interviews, and he seems like a really cool guy.
He is.
He and Jelly Roll, too. Yeah.
Jelly Roll as well. Yeah. I haven't met Jelly Roll yet. Hopefully someday soon.
Very cool.
But, yeah.
You'll be rubbing elbows, I'm sure.
Aww.
Now, you've got your guitar out, and you've got your capo on there in a little different position than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Explain.
This was the genius, actually, of my co-writer, Bonnie Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the studio, and it is just a hoot. I can't explain how we get together and laugh and just have the greatest, craziest time. And we just experiment and play around with things, and it gets goofy sometimes, and we laugh. And
I
then
love
it's
that.
Actually, we hit something that's really fun and great. And this happened to be one of those moments where it was like, oh, hang on. So this song kind of came out of that, but... I'd wanted to talk about this for a while. I feel like as a female and just as a human in general, I have that little voice that's always in your head just kind of telling you maybe, you know, you're not good enough or you're not pretty enough or you're not talented enough or you don't work hard enough or... And it's sometimes...
The curse of creative people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to write something about that that kind of said that it's okay. You're not your thoughts. Your thoughts are something else. You are who you are and your thoughts are separate.
Ooh.
And that helps me get through with it and not struggle too much with it because I feel like you can if you let it get to you too hard. So
I agree.
This one's called Little Voice. Little voice inside my head keeps me up when I lay in bed. I try to drown it out with sound, but I'm listening again. And it's a stream of consciousness, more like a river or an ocean. And it's telling me to jump right in, but I'm stuck here in the sand. A string of doubt between in and out, but never quite in line. And it's a figure eight to figure out what's real inside my mind. Oh, when everything's right, it tells me I'm wrong. Oh, and it says that I'm weak when I feel like I'm strong. It's breaking the chain that's trapped when it rains. No peace, no quiet, no silence and joy. Such a damn loud noise for such a little voice. Am I ever gonna be okay? Am I making all the wrong mistakes? Am I right to be afraid? Am I overthinking everything? And it's a hidden kind of paradise. Like an oasis that I'll never find. Praying for silence in the dead of night, cause I'm over here in everything. Oh, when everything's right, it tells me I'm wrong. Oh, it says that I'm weak when I feel like I'm strong. It's a break in the chain that's a trap when it rains. Is there a way I can make it all go away? No peace, no quiet, no silence and joy. Such a damn loud noise for such a little voice. Oh, eyes. Oh, eyes. Oh, eyes. Joy, such a damn loud noise for such a little voice.
Wow. That is really something. I think that's something everybody can identify with right there. You get that little voice in your head always telling you things, you know.
Just never stops.
Yeah, it never stops. Really hard if you have, like, I know I have a friend now trying to quit smoking, which I think is the hardest thing in the world. If that little voice starts talking to you.
Yeah,
I can have just one puff. Yeah.
They'll never know.
Whatever your addiction is, it's that little voice. But
mine's cookies. No, you think I'm kidding.
You're not kidding.
Oh, no, I'm not kidding.
Oreos or?
All of them. Especially chocolate chip. Why am I telling everybody this? I just said I wasn't going to talk about it.
Well, you know.
Now they're all going to know.
I'm going to tell you my philosophy about Oreos.
Please tell me.
I think there is something addictive in there. And they know it.
You know what? That makes sense.
They know it because you can't open up a box of... Oh,
what?
You can't have just one.
You can't do it.
You can't.
No, I think that's the same with chocolate chip, though. For me, anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
If I see a pack of 12, There's no longer a pack of 12. They're gone.
They're gone.
I don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
I look around and the room just went dark, and then I open my eyes and they're all gone. Like, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. They have ways to, they walk away. They do. Right. We have that in common. There we go.
Songwriting and cookies, 101. Here we are.
But I wanted to, nuts and bolts. I wanted to talk to you about the capo placement. I really did. I brought that up. You had it on the second fret, and you had everything but the last two strings.
Correct. Yeah.
And I've never seen that position before. Is there a name for that? It gives you a great sound.
No, I don't know.
I can't wait to try.
Actually, it's really good though. Like, and the other thing, I haven't got my other capo with me right now. But if you double capo, you can move it up the neck and double capo as well. So you have. Wow. The same thing higher and lower. The other thing I do a lot of too is double capoing, and I actually got this from Steve Earle, which you can
Steve
do the drop.
Earle?
You can do the drop like that, but then if you
we've talked about that. I call that a drop E.
So you can bring that up and do another capo here, and then you can move it up higher if you want and keep that drop open, which is nice. It gives it that little bit of depth.
But, you can do that, or you can do open tunings. I know a lot of guys that write a lot in open tuning.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes if you're in a little, I think when you're in a little bit of a slump. It's good to pull out that capo or do an open tuning. But doing a capo like that, it's so hard when you're playing out somewhere to go, wait, I got to tune the dadgad here. Hold on.
I know.
You know, but if you can put if you can just whip on a capo and do something like that, you can maybe do the same kind of sound.
There are capos you can get. I think it's called a spider capo.
I actually have one of them.
Did you have? They're hard to put on, though.
They really are.
Again, I think you still need a second guitar if you're going to use those. But you can do dadgad and stuff a little easier.
Yeah.
But it's still tough.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't enjoy that at all. I don't recommend that at all.
I've written a few songs in different keys and tunings and stuff like that. And it's always... It's so fun when you go to play it live. You're like, damn, why did I do that? I need three guitars now. I only have two hands. But yeah, it's such a joy. And again, I mean, that's another thing about Nashville is you get to write with all these different writers and people.
And you learn things, don't you?
You learn stuff every time. And I'm always curious about stuff and I'm always wanting to like learn something new. And I love learning stuff.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're never too old for that. Never.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah. No.
Look at me. I'm 116. I'm in good shape for it, but with every co-write, I learn.
116.
Yeah,
you look great.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
What are you eating? Is it cookies?
It's cookies.
No,
it's
man.
The cookie diet. Oreos, damn. Especially.
This is not sponsored by Oreos, but maybe now it's going to be.
You never know.
Dear Oreo, if you're listening.
If you're listening, please.
We both want sponsorship.
Did I say we're over a million streams?
You can pay us in cookies.
I will work for cookies. Absolutely. Yeah. You're crazy. I love you. I do. That's awesome.
I love you too. This is awesome.
Let's play a song. Do we want to play? Let's play one of your songs from Spotify. How about the song Jackie? Tell us about the song Jackie. I want people to hear a full production Zoe song.
Okay. No, Jackie's a great song to do that with. So Jackie actually is the story of a time I was going through just here not too long ago. I got my heart broken.
Oh, no.
I was sitting on the kitchen floor crying, and my best friend was there to help me up on my feet and remind me that it's going to be okay. And the song really is a love song to your best friend to remind them that you see everything that they do and that they're always there for you and you never ask, you never, you know, they're just always there.
Yeah.
And I felt like that needed to be said. So this is my love letter to my best friend, Jackie.
Did you co-write this with anyone? Or?
I co-write this actually with Bonnie Diamond and James House.
There you go. James House again. Yeah. I love him. He's great.
He's so good.
All right, let's play this. Go, Jackie. Zoe.
Jacqueline called me at 10:30. She said she's standing in a cloud of dust again. Broken as the day she let him in. She threw her hands up and said she's done with men. A little distraction from all that has happened might be what she needs. So Jackie, come on. Yeah.
Great song. What a great friend. Was there a Jackie in that song? Or were you Jackie?
Both. It flips in the bridge. We help each other through the good and the bad. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I really think it is. That's a great song. A lot of people, again, that people can identify with. You know?
I've had so many people at the end of shows come up to me and be like, oh my God, she's my Jackie.
We're
now Jackie for each other. And that is the sweetest thing ever. That means so much.
You're starting a thing there.
I love
she's my Jackie. She's my Jackie.
I love it.
I love it too. And the lesson behind the song, so I always hear things that I like to bring in. I mean, you could have said, come on over and cry on my shoulder. I'm going to be there for you, friend. Instead, you said, I've got a steel shoulder. That's cool. I don't think I've ever heard that. Is that a thing?
I think, you know, I'm not sure if it
see
is.
That you
just, I think that was just kind of the artistic moment in the day and it happened.
That's songwriting.
Thank
you.
You
find a different way of saying things.
Yeah.
You know, I also love the Ben and Jerry's line. Oh my gosh. When I was working out this
ben
morning.
Ben and Jerry's keeps the tears out of her eyes.
They do.
They
should get a co-write on that.
There it is. There's that second sponsorship right there.
There we go.
Between Oreo and Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's.
We're really repping the healthy lifestyle.
We really are. It's a healthy lifestyle. What the heck? You know.
I am drinking pure water here, though, just for anybody asking. So,
and
you know,
I am, too.
Yes. Yeah, yes. So we are actually genuinely repping
absolutely.
The good life.
Hey, we could probably get a sponsorship from Vegemite, too.
Now you're talking about
it. Now we're talking?
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever tried it?
Mm. I did one time.
Did you like it?
My friend Michael brought some back. And
no, be honest. Did you actually like it?
Well, it was just a very, very...
He's backpedaling already.
Backstroke. I think it's an acquired taste, right?
Okay, yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll agree with it. It is definitely unique. It's not Nutella.
It's not Nutella. That's for sure. It's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
I can't even explain what it tastes. You have to try it.
It's more of a savory taste than it is a sweet taste. It's more salt than it is sugar.
Can you put it on Oreos? Just
no, don't even attempt that. No, that's stop.
I had to ask. Didn't
that's
I?
Like a nightmare. No, we don't do that.
You put it on toast.
You
crackers,
put it very thin layer. You can put a little bit of lettuce on top as well and turn it into like a little bit of onion, a little bit of ham if you want, or like it can be a thing. But don't do it thick.
Oh, okay.
Or just do it by itself.
Just a little.
Just, mm,
yeah.
Ideally, if you have any Australian friends out there, get them to make it for you because there is a way to do it that's right, and there is a way to do it where it just tastes like tar from the and you don't want to do it that way. You'll never eat it again if you have it that way.
Well, I like raw oysters, so I'm sure I could learn to like Vegemite.
Oh, there's the slogan for Vegemite advertising, Eric. I like raw oysters, so yes, I'm sure I
sure,
can learn
to
like.
I'll do the commercial for you, free.
Oh, that's so great. We're going to sell lots of jars with that. That's perfect.
Pick up the pick up that beautiful Martin guitar. I love Martin, by the way. That's what I play out. I have guitars on every chair, but when I do play out, I love the sound of a Martin guitar.
Martins are one of my favorites. Yeah. They just have such a beautiful, warm tone.
They really do.
And they're just, I don't know what it is.
They sound good plugged in, too.
They do. They're very versatile in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about a song. You were talking about, do I dare ask for that new one you were talking about earlier?
Actually, that new one was Little Voice.
Oh, was Little Voice.
That's the new song I have coming out. Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I love it. When is that released?
That's to be determined.
To be determined.
Yes, to be determined.
TBD.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else I could do here for us today.
Okay.
So, I haven't played this in a while.
Okay.
This came out last year. I'm trying to think when. But this is kind of like, I suppose, the journey of my life, in a sense.
Great.
So far, anyway. At least moving around the world and chasing a crazy dream. You don't know if it's going to come true or not. So, let's see how it goes. So you say you ain't found it yet. Been taking big steps and it ain't cutting it. Feeling like you're lost.
can't find true north anywhere, but it's right there. You already know, so you don't have to ask. Travel light and move fast. You got a dream, you better get ready to race. I mean fast like never putting on the brakes. Keep pushing through the hurts and the heartaches. You gotta do whatever, whatever it takes. God's kingdom love to your leap of faith. I'm talking all in, playing every ace. Don't ever let love just slip away. You gotta do whatever, whatever it takes. Stepping out in the world, another kind of southern girl. Nothing ventured is nothing gained, and it's such a crime wasting time. You got a dream, you better get ready to race. I mean fast like never putting on the brakes. Keep pushing through the hurts and the heartaches. You gotta do whatever, whatever it takes. God's kingdom love, take a leap of faith. I'm talking all. You gotta do whatever, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever.
This is usually where I get the crowd to sing with me.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it takes.
It's always good to have the whoa-whoas to get people going. It does.
It's fun. It's so fun.
Yeah. I didn't, because I can't sing as good as you.
That was really great. No, you were singing. I loved it.
Just a little bit.
That was so fun.
Put my mic off. I didn't want to offend anybody.
It was so nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You've been so nice.
You're so
And you know, that is, I could see that being kind of a theme song for you, because you're doing whatever it takes, and you are. And you know, you're an independent artist, so you've got to do it all, don't you?
Yeah. There's a lot of hats to wear these days.
There's a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you do it, girl? No sleep?
A lot of no sleep and a lot of long hours. I mean, I feel like that is kind of the thing, though, at the moment. You know,
time management's big, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm doing all of that, too. So I do all my own bookings, my own management, whole thing. And social media is such a big part of that now, too, mm-hmm. where you're constantly... And I love interacting with fans online and talking to them and getting to know them as well. So shows, I love doing the whole meet and greet things and getting to talk to everybody and get to know them as well and then connect later online. And, you know, I feel like that for me as a kid, getting to meet artists was such a big thing.
Yeah.
I remember I got to meet Dennis Lockery from Dr. Hook. I was like four.
Yeah.
And he came down because I was the only kid in the crowd. And my parents brought me to the show because I loved
Dennis
Dr.
and Ray. They were crazy.
Oh, the best.
Oh, they were awesome.
And he came down and he was like, thank you to my parents for bringing me for a start, because I was the only kid there.
Wow.
And then he got down on one knee and kissed my hand. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. And he wanted to know who I was. And we talked. And I just remember that's happened a couple of times with different people, and it's always impacted me. And music does that, you know, it brings people together, and that's what
amazing.
I want my music to do too. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I love connecting with fans, and getting to be on social media and do that is a really great thing, because we get to do that even more now, I think. But it is a lot.
I agree.
It is a lot.
And we're in a crazy world right now. A lot of division, a lot of things in this world that, you know, and I think music is the thing that can bring us all together. I've always had that philosophy.
Absolutely.
I think it is. Yeah.
You know, that's my goal. If I can do that and bring people together, you know, that's my job done.
It is.
Music, it crosses all languages and
it's,
all barriers.
It's a universal language, I was just going to say.
I mean,
absolutely.
They sent it to outer space in case anyone out there decides to find it. So,
you know,
I feel like it is the most universal thing, and it's amazing that
It's amazing that you can listen to a song from in a language that maybe you don't even know or speak yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And it could still bring you to tears. You know?
Completely. It yeah. happens all the time.
All the time.
All yeah. the time. And awesome. I love listening to stuff that I can't understand. I love listening to instrumental music and film soundtracks
too.
Because that can, I'll be sitting there listening to a soundtrack and I'll start crying.
You've done some soundtracks, haven't you?
I have.
You
yeah.
did.
I got to do, gosh, it was a couple of years ago now, but that's a fun experience too.
I bet.
I've always been very, you know, I feel like there's lots of boxes, but I never like to stick in them for too long. Because, you know, there's so much to make and there's so much to play around in and explore.
Absolutely.
Music and life is playful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's kind of always been the driving force, is to just never forget that playful side of life and,
awesome.
And getting to create music in all
so
styles.
As busy as you are, you're still having fun.
Yeah, you have to. If you're not having fun, what's the point?
Yeah. I heard you talk about passion on one of your interviews. And I thought, yeah, that's, you know,
yeah.
I always used to preach that passion. Live the dream.
Passion is it. If you haven't got that, then what are you doing?
What do you got?
You need to change it up because that's all we need. That's it.
Right. How can folks reach out to you?
I am Zoe Music on pretty much everything. I think Instagram and Facebook and all those good things. Or it's ZoeMusic.com.
ZoeMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Your webpage?
That's it.
All right.
Zoe.
It's so good to finally get to meet you.
So great to be here and meet you.
Thanks for sharing the songs around the dining room table and for coming all this way.
I really appreciate you having me.
You got a fan for life in me.
Oh.
All the best.
I gotcha.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.